Sunday, Chof Hei Teves, Rabbi Zalmi Zonnenfeld, Inyonim and Moshe Rabin.
Very good morning to everyone. It's a great kavod for me to be given the opportunity to speak in such a choshev kehillah. I'm very honored. Today's topic is Moshe Rabbeinu. Yesterday's leading in Parshas Shmos, we got the first mention of Moshe Rabbeinu, his birth, his upbringing in the house of Paro. Moshe Rabbeinu is actually the most mentioned person in the whole Torah. There's no one who's more mentioned, most single person who's more mentioned in the whole Torah. From his birth in Parshas Shmos, right through till Parshas Vezos HaBracha, the last Sedra in the Torah, he's mentioned in every single Sedra, besides, as we know, in Parshas Tetzaveh, which always falls out his Yahrzeit, Moshe Rabbeinu is not mentioned. But besides that, he is mentioned in every single Sedra. Aaron HaKohen is mentioned very low as well, in Parshas Chukas, that's when his Petira is mentioned, but Moshe Rabbeinu goes all the way till Parshas Vezos HaBracha. Bala Turim at the beginning of Parshas Tetzaveh brings two reasons why Moshe Rabbeinu is not mentioned in Parshas Tetzaveh. One reason is because Moshe Rabbeinu said after the Egel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you don't want to forgive the Yidden, then Mecheni no Mesifrecha. I don't want to be mentioned in your Torah. Another reason, and the Gemara says in Makkos that when a tzaddik makes a t'nai, even though he made it on condition, but something has to be kaim. And that's why one part of the Torah, we're mekayim his what he said, and that's why we don't mention it in Parshas Tetzaveh. Another reason, the Gemara brings in Zvachim, Daf Kuf Pei Samad Aleph, which is also brought down in Rashi, and last week's Sedra in Parshas Shmos, is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu by the Sneh, and he was trying to convince him to help the Yidden to get out of Mitzrayim by speaking to Paroi. The Pasuk says at one stage, "Vayichaf Hashem b'Moshe." Hashem was annoyed with Moshe. "Vayema haloi aharei nachicha halevi yodati kidabe yidaberhu." Don't worry about being able to speak to Moshe Rabbeinu, because Levi, he will do the speaking to Moshe to Paroi. Levi, Aaron, he will do the speaking. And Rashi brings down over here the reason why the punishment for Charoin Af. Whenever we find Charoin Af in the Torah, there's always a punishment. And Rashi brings down the punishment was that really the kahuna was supposed to come out of Moshe Rabbeinu and not from Aharon. But because HaKadosh Baruch Hu got annoyed with him at this stage, the kahuna was given over to Aharon. And therefore in Parshas Tetzaveh, where the whole topic there is about the kahuna, the begodim that the Kohen Gadol wears, therefore we don't mention Moshe Rabbeinu in that parsha. But besides that, Moshe Rabbeinu is mentioned in every single parsha. He was with the Yidden, he helped them in Mitzrayim, he took them out of Mitzrayim. Of course, Matan Torah, he was the one who gave the Yidden the Torah. He davened for the Yidden when they got into trouble. He was there all the way along. And I'd like to speak a bit about Moshe Rabbeinu, his character traits, certain middos of his, and see maybe what we could take out of it, lemaisa. Be magdim with a vot I heard a few weeks ago in Manchester from Rabbi Sror Rakov from Shari Torah. He said over that you find in Parshas Vayigash, when Yaakov first came down to Mitzrayim, v'shivim nefesh yodu v'mitzrayim. And the pasuk lists out who they were, his children, his grandchildren. And as Chazal say, if you count it, you only find 69 mentioned. Who was the 70th? The 70th was Yecheved, the daughter of Levi, who her birth was just before they entered into Mitzrayim. She was Noilad Bein HaChomos, just before they entered into Mitzrayim. So he asked, what's this idea that she was born just then? Not on the way, not when they were in Mitzrayim, she was born exactly Bein HaChomos, just as they were about to enter into Mitzrayim, she was born at that stage. And he explained, we know that Chazal say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always Magdim Refuah Lamaka. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings the Maka upon a Klal or on a Yochid. Of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't mean it, that the main thing is to give the person the Maka, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu there's a reason why he's doing it, but he always puts the refuah in place beforehand. The classical place is, of course, in the Megillah. We find that when Haman comes onto the scene in Megillas Esther, at the beginning of the third Perek, but Mordechai has already been written in the Sefer Zichronos, the special book of the Melech, because he heard the plan of Bigthan and Zeresh. Esther has already been appointed as the Malka. Everything is in place for the refuah, which is going to be the Yeshua, the salvation of Klal Yisrael finally. Then Haman came along with his plan. That's where Chazal learned from that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Makdim Refuah Lamaka. So he wanted to suggest that over here as well, the Yidden were now going to go into Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim, what the Chazal called the Kor HaBarza, where the Yidden suffered for many years. So before they went in, and just before they went in, and Dafka then, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Makdim Refuah Lamaka, so Yecheved was born. Yecheved, who had gradually give birth to Moshiach Shel Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu, she was born then. To put the Yeshua into place, to put the Refuah into place, before they went into Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Magdim Refuah Lamaka, and that's why Moshe Rabbeinu was born just then. A similar idea we find at the end of Parshas Vayechi. The Torah ends off Sefer Bereishis, the whole Sefer Bereishis, telling us that Yosef HaTzadik, was Nifta, and he made a shvua to his children that they shouldn't leave his atzomos, his bones in Mitzrayim, they should take him out to Eretz Yisrael. And it says he was Nifta, he was 110 years old, Vayisem ba'oron b'Mitzrayim, they put him into an oron in Mitzrayim. The question is asked, can you not find a nicer way to end off the whole Sefer Bereishis? You have to speak about the Hatzomois of Yosef in the last Pasuk. Why can't we speak about how there was Achdus between the brothers at the end? There was no kinner anymore. There was no sin anymore. Why does it finish off Dafka with this point? Vayisim ba'aram b'mitzrayim. And I heard the same idea. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Magdim Refuah Lamaka. How does that come in over here? What's that got to do with the end of Sefer Bereishis? The Pasuk says in Tehillim, a Pasuk from Halil, Hayom ro vayonois, hayarte nisof la'ochor. And there's a Medrash which says, Ma ro hayom vayonois. What was it that caused the sea to run away? It was at some way Shel Yosef. So whatever may be the explanation of that, why it had to be that Atzomos Shel Yosef, we saw that, you see from Chazal, that what caused the Yam to split was Atzomos Shel Yosef. And that's why, again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Magdim Refuah Lamaka, so the end of Parshas Vayechi, before we start Shmois, which is going to speak about the Shibud, this had to be in place as well. Vayisem Ba'arim Mitzrayim, the Atzomos of Yosef were in place. Now, you could bring on the Maka, so we start Parshas Shmois. So Moshe Rabbeinu was the Moshiach Shel Yisrael. I want to tell you over a story, quite inspiring story, which is brought down in the Teferis Yisrael, one of the Purushim of the Mishnayos, in Masechtas Kedushin, the end of the fourth Perek of Kedushin, is brought down a very interesting story. Teferis Yisrael was written by Rav Yisrael Lipschitz. He was Nifta about 150 years ago. We'll see in a minute why the date has relevance. His parish is also known as the Yochin of Voyaz. It's split up into two things, parish and more of a Ion, the Yochin and the Voyaz. And he brings down like this. He says, I heard a story, Shamati, the following, about Moshe Rabbeinu. After all the great Nisim, after Kriyas Yamsuf, and after Matan Torah, there was a king who was a king who lived in one of the Arab countries, who was very interested in seeing who this Moshe Rabbeinu was. After hearing all the amazing Nisim which the Yidden had witnessed, he wanted to know who this Manig, who this leader of Klal Yisrael was. And he sent his greatest artists to go and make a drawing of him. And they went to the camp of the Yidden, and they managed to get a drawing of him, and they came back to report to the king. The king gave this drawing to his best advisors to have a look at it. And he said, I want to know about the character traits of this person. Tell me what you have to say about it. They studied it and they came back to the king. And they said, this person, it looks like he has very bad character traits. He was born with Midas Rois. We don't see anything special, any special powers that this person has. We can't see anything. It must be that the artists, they did not draw a true picture of this person. The artist said, no, we got it exactly right. But these experts, they obviously do not know how to read anything from looking at a person's facial features. And the argument went back and forth until the king sent the artist, another group of artists, back to the camp of the Eden to take another drawing of Moshe Rabbeinu. When they saw Moshe Rabbeinu, they saw that Taka was... The picture was 100% right. There is one gerus of the story that the king went back himself because the king wanted to see if it was a good picture. He saw that the picture was right. Moshe Rabbeinu looked exactly like that, and they approached Moshe Rabbeinu and they asked him, "What's going on? I've asked them to take a picture of you. They've drawn a very good picture, and I've given it to my people, and they've said that this is a person with midas rights." And he brings down the Tiferes Yisrael that Moshe Rabbeinu said, yes, me, in my nature, in my teva, that I was born a person with bad character traits. I did have very bad midas. But I worked on myself, and that's how I managed to accomplish what I accomplished until I managed to reach a high level. That's a summary of the story which is brought down in the Tiferes Yisrael. And he brings down that there's hope for everyone who might think that they born with midas rois, beteva, etc. He says, you see, even Moshe Rabbeinu was born with midas rois. In 1895, about 35 years after the Petira of the Tiferes Yisrael, there was a Magid of Vilkomir, his name was Rabbi Yitzhak Aaron, and he came out with a scathing attack against the Tiferes Yisrael. He says, this story is an absolute hoax. It can't be that you can say about Moshe Rabbeinu, he was born with midas ra'as, I don't know what his makor is, but it's not true. He wrote a whole kuntras about it, a kuntras called Klil Tiferes. It was brought out in Yerushalayim, and he tried to bring some rise against it. And he said, I'll go so far to say it's a mitzvah that someone who has a copy of the Tiferes Yisrael, he should black out this copy at the end of the fourth perik of Kedushin. It can't be that this story is a good story. Amongst others, he's got an haskama from Rav Yishua Levi Diskin, who's in agreement with him. The Aderes, who's known in the Kabbalah world. Amongst others, he has those as who have haskamas and also say that they are in agreement with him. They say Moshe Rabbeinu is someone who had a special neshama, like the Pasuk says, "Vatera Oisai Ki Toifu," already right from the beginning, you see something more special in him, and it can't be he had bad midas. We'll see later maybe a few riyas for and against whether it could be true or cannot be true. A few years later, there was a sefer called Zecher Yehoisef, which came to the defense of the Tiferes Yisrael. And he says, I must tell you, I agree that it never happened. But to come along with such an attack against the Tiferes Yisrael, that is not true. That is not right to do. Because you do find that many times tzaddikim are born with inferior midas, and then they work on their character traits, and they can grow to be very big tzaddikim. And all that Tiferes Yisrael wanted to bring out was this idea. And you find that Chazal can bring a moshul of such a idea. So to come out with such an attack is not true. But he is in agreement that this story, did not take place. Now, it appears to be that the school of thought who say that this story did not take place were not acquainted with the more Hasidish Svarim, the Hasidish school of thought. Because this underlying concept that Moshe Rabbeinu was born with Midas Rois is brought down already in a few of the Hasidish Svarim. The first one was a Ben Pyrus Yosef. He was a Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov. And he lived a whole century before the Tiferes Yisrael, before the Klil Tiferes, who came out with a scathing attack against the Tiferes Yisrael. He lived many years before the Tiferes Yisrael, but he lived 100 years before the first attack against the Tiferes Yisrael. And he does not bring down this story, but in Parshas Vayechi he says that Moshe Rabbeinu was born with evil character traits. He does bring that down. And so too the Kedusha Slevi, the Bedichava and Parshas Truma, he also brings this amongst the others. The majority of Hasidic Sfarim don't bring down the story, but there are many who bring down this Nakuda. There are two which do bring down the story. One was the Talmud of the Mizritcha Magid, he brings a slightly different version of the story. He says that when the artist came back to the king to report what was going on, the king had him executed when his pupil said to him that this person had evil character traits. And then the king sent another artist, and this artist was, you know, didn't want to have the same end as the first artist. So he spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu. It wasn't the king who spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu. He spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu explained to him this point. But he does bring down this story. So you do find it's mentioned in various Hasidic Svarim. Much ink has been spilt to verify this story, and until this day, there isn't a clear maskana whether this story did take place or it didn't take place. Among some proofs to this point, Reb Shimshon Pinkus brings down that there's a medrash in the beginning of Parshas Shmos which says that there was shisha bekeres echad. There were some ladies who had six babies in one go. V'yeshoyim shishim. Some say 60, and some say 600,000. 600,000 in one go. That's a remiss to Moshe Rabbeinu, who was shokel keneged kol kal Yisrael. And Reb Shimshon brings down, the Pardes Yosef brings down already from earlier Svarim, that this is coming to be meramez that Moshe Rabbeinu was already from birth, he was a special neshama, he was a big tzaddik. Not that chas v'sholem, he had midas ra'as. And similarly, like we mentioned before, Vatera Isai Ki Toifu, Basya already said right at the beginning, she saw that there was something good here, there was something special. That also seems to imply it was right from the beginning. And the way they want to defend this, by saying that it was true, this story did happen, they want to say that, of course, Moshe Rabbeinu always had the potential to be a great tzaddik. But that doesn't mean to say that this story did not take place. That's not enough to say that this story did not take place, because he always had it in him, but it's not a stira to say at the beginning he had midas ra'as. Another interesting proof is, you find at the beginning of Parshas Yisroi suggested to Moshe Rabbeinu not to take the whole ol of Mitzrayim, of the Yidden, on him, to appoint Dayonim. And Yisroi, the Lashon of the Pasuk is, Va'ata Sechazeh Mikol Ha'om. And the Lashon of Sechazeh is the Lashon of vision, Chazoyin Yeshaya. And the Rabbeinu Bachai brings down there that he was telling him that there's certain character traits you could see on a person. So when appointing people to be on your Beis Din, look at their facial appearances. So they want to say that if this whole story did take place, that he did have evil character traits, like the artist saw on the picture. So you're saying that there's no proof by looking at a person and seeing his facial features, because it could be that he beteva has midas ra'as and he's just worked on himself. And again, the Svarim want to answer, there seems to be two types of ways of examining a person's facial features. Some things that he has beteva, he was born with, and there's ways of seeing how he's worked on himself as well. And Yisroi was referring to the latter one. Some want to say that we find that Moshe Rabbeinu wore a mask over his face to cover the radiance of his face, because he had such a shine after HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him a crown. So they say, how could it be that our artist came along at all and took a picture? How would it be possible? But that can be easily disputed by saying he only got that after Matan Torah. So this story could have taken place between Yetzias Mitzrayim and Matan Torah. So until this day, this story is not 100% clear whether it could be verified whether it did take place or didn't take place. What everyone is in agreement is that Moshe Rabbeinu, once he was leading Klal Yisrael, he had the finest midas, he had worked on himself. That was 100% clear. I want to speak about one or two nekudas of Moshe Rabbeinu's life and try to bring out one or two points. Moshe Rabbeinu's fine midas. At the end of Parshas Ha'azinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the final farewell to Moshe Rabbeinu. And he says, he tells him that he's going to die, he's not going to go into Eretz Yisrael because of the punishment of the Mei Meriva. And he seems to put a very big stress, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on the Mei Meriva. You're not coming into Eretz Yisrael because of the story of the Mei Meriva. You hit the stone and you should have spoken to the stone. He seems to put a very strong stress on that. Why is it that at the end of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, he deserved to go with such a final farewell. We expect to find a shkoyach to Moshe Rabbeinu for leading Klal Yisrael with such mesiras nefesh, with such compassion. Why is there such a stress on the Mei Meriva? You're not going into Eretz Yisrael because of the Mei Meriva. You can see it, but there seems to be a very strong stress on the Mei Meriva. The second question is, in Tfilas Geshem, on Shmini Atzeres, when we're asking in the S'chus of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, we also ask in the S'chus of Moshe Rabbeinu. And again, we mention the Mei Meriva. In the S'chus of the Mei Meriva, which seems to be a bit of a stira. If Moshe Rabbeinu didn't do what he was supposed to do, then why is it that we bring this down when we're trying to look for the beginning of the rain season, the Geshem, which is really a remez for all of Gashmias, the Parnasa which will come down that year to the Yidden? Why are we mentioning this story, which seems to be it's something which is in the negative? Thirdly, if Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to speak to the stone and not hit the stone, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the nest when Moshe Rabbeinu hit the stone and the water did come out. So Moshe Rabbeinu doing was something which he was not supposed to do. He didn't listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu properly. So why is it then that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was still made this nest happen? He still made it happen. And the fourth question is something we find right at the end of the Torah in Parshas Vezos HaBracha. The very last pasuk of the Torah, it says, Olachol hayada chazaka, the very strong hand, which Rashi says that Moshe Rabbeinu was makabo the luchos, Olachol hamoira gadol, all the great wonders. That's what Rashi says, the nisim and the gvurois, which were in the midbar. And it says, Asha osa Moshe le'ene kol Yisrael. What was le'ene kol Yisrael? Rashi brings down that was the shviras haluchos. There seems to be something about the Shviras HaLuchos which was even greater than all the Nisim and all the great things that the Yidden saw in Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yamtsov, in the Midbar. There seems to be something great about the Luchos which was put at the end, and it seems to be a stress was on that. What was special, so special, about the breaking of the Luchos? So I'll work backwards from the fourth question, this breaking of the Luchos. Rabbi Socha's friend brings down a very interesting idea. He brings it down from a sefer called Ateres Mordechai. He says that sometimes a person decides to work on a project. It could be a school project. It could be to build a building. It could be a shtickel Torah. And a person he works through his ideas. He's critical to himself. He tries to work out what's good, what's not good. Once the project is underway and it's nearing completion, so a person always tends to see, he only wants to see the good. He doesn't want to see the bad anymore. Even it might be something that he was critical about at the beginning, but a person doesn't want to see it afterwards. He just wants to see this is good. If a person, for example, has made a shtickel Torah and someone's going to come and ask him now a question, he'll try his very best to fetch out of it, he'll find some sort of answer to go, but this is good, this is finished, this is my work, and that's the way a person would like to look at something. When Moshe Rabbeinu came down the mountain with the Luchos, we could imagine what he was feeling like when he saw the Yidden were serving the Egel. This was his magnum opus, so to speak. This was his life's work. He'd taken the Yidden out of Mitzrayim. The whole reason was in order they should be given the Torah. He sacrificed 40 days and nights without eating and drinking in Shomayim to get the Torah. He had to fight against the Malachim, literally, to take the Torah away from them, that he should give it to the Eden. And he comes down the mountain now, and he knows instinctively that the correct thing to do would be to break the Luchos. He could have started thinking to himself, listen, the Yidden got mixed up, they thought it was past 40 days, it'll pass in a few days' time, so they shouldn't have done the Egel, it's not the end of the world. But Moshe Rabbeinu put all his feelings to the side, and he did what he thought was correct, and he straight away broke the Luchos. He didn't take this whole Cheshbon into mind, how for himself this would be maybe a bit of a disaster. He didn't take it all to mind. And that, the Bisachar friend brings, is what was so special and why it gets such a strong mention at the end of the Torah, the breaking of the Luchos. A similar idea he brings is that the Gemara says that Shimon HaMusoni darshaned every single S in the Torah. It comes to be marva something. Until he got to Es Hashem Elekecha Tira, and he didn't know what Es Hashem Elekecha Tira comes to include, so he says it's not consistent. I'll be choiza on every single S that I darshaned. Until Rabbi Akiva came along and said Es Hashem Elekecha Tira l'rabbis tamidei chachamim. So the question is asked, how come Shimon HaMusoni, he did not think of this? Only Rabbi Akiva managed to come up with this idea. The idea is also on the same lines. When Rabbi Akiva saw how Shimon HaMusoni went back from all his S, the drushes of S, because he didn't know how to darshan one S, he saw such honesty there, he saw such integrity there. He could have darshaned it somehow, but no, Shimon HaMusoni said, I can't darshan this S, I'm not consistent, I will go back on all my thousands of S in, all over the Torah that I've darshaned, I will go back and I will say, I won't darshan them because of this one. That enabled Rabbi Akiva to see that a Talmud Chacham, you should have fear from him. Es Hashem Elekecha Tira Rabbis Talmud Chachamim. If a Talmud Chacham could have such honesty and integrity and go back on his word, that gufa shows that you can be included in Es Hashem Elekecha Tira. Going back to the first question, why HaKadosh Baruch Hu ended off with the Mei Meriva, and also the second question, why we mentioned the Mei Meriva in Tefillas Geshem, and the third question, why HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the Nes happen, this shows a second very special character trait of Moshe Rabbeinu. There's an idea brought down in the Benoyim Elimelech, from Elimelech von Nijensk in Pashas Bolok, and he says that you find different dargas by the Yidden in Klal Yisrael. There's higher dargas and there's lower dargas. He says that sometimes a Nes which would have an ashbar, an effect on a tzaddik, will not necessarily have an effect on a lower person, someone who's lesser madrega. He says sometimes you have to give an ill person, Rahman al-Itslan, a medication, and you're worried that this medication might have a negative effect on him, so you have to give him not such a strong a medication as you originally thought. You might have to give him something less, which might not have such a strong effect, but you know that it won't, Chas v'Shalom, do any damage. He says there are dargas of people which you can just speak to them and it can have an effect on them, but that's tzaddikim, even with a dibor. But there's some people that you have to do some sort of maisa to have an effect on them. L'moshel, there's some sort of children in some situations that by talking to them, you can get a message across to them. But sometimes a child needs a patch, because that's the way he will understand it, but he won't necessarily understand it with a dibor. He says that Moshe Rabbeinu had so much Mesiras Nefesh and was such a good manig that he knew that the correct thing to do was to speak to the stone in order that the water should come out. But Moshe Rabbeinu said to himself, there's some Yidden who are not on this Madrega, for somehow they wouldn't have got such a big Roshim from this nest if Moshe Rabbeinu would have spoken to the stone. So he was in a bit of a dilemma. You know, maybe I should hit the stone, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me to hit the stone, so to speak to the stone, so how can I hit the stone? I can get punished for this. But Moshe Rabbeinu's Mesiras Nefesh for the Yidden was that I'm willing to even go to Gehenim in order that all the Yidden should get some sort of an Ashpah and should see the Nisim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu went ahead and he hit the stone. And he says that that's why the Nes actually occurred, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw, understood the cheshbon, why Moshe Rabbeinu did it. So he had to get punished, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu understood the cheshbon. And that's why in the farewell speech to Moshe Rabbeinu, there's an adgosha, there's a stress on this, because this other rabbi shows what great Mesiras Nefesh Moshe Rabbeinu had for the Yidden. And that's why in Tefillas Geshem, when it's a time when we're davening for our parnasa for the coming year, we mention this story as well, because it's a great schos for us. On the topic of Mesiras Nefesh, I'll mention something that I heard, something which occurred a few years ago in Yerushalayim. There was a very tragic massacre in the yeshiva of Harav Kook, when a terrorist infiltrated the building and he shot several yeshiva bachrim, Hashem Yikum Domam. At that time I was living in Yerushalayim, about 10 minutes walk away from that area. And there was a pachad at the time. There was talk as it was happening, there was talk that there was a terrorist on the loose, and they told people to stay indoors, not to go outside. It was very scary. The next day, that was a Thursday night, on a Friday, it was a Levaya. It really brought together all sectors of the community, Hasidish, Sfardim, Mizrahi, Litvish, it brought everyone together. And that Friday night, Reb Noach Oloik, he spoke in Torah Oir. He's a Mashkiach in Torah Oir in Yerushalayim, which was very close to where this story actually happened. And he spoke, and people wanted chizuk. People were still scared. They wanted to hear something. And he said over the following. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into the Bria certain koiches. And one of the koiches he put into the Bria is Mesiras Nefesh. Now, Mesiras Nefesh literally means giving over your life. It's really a hard word, a hard term to translate into English. You know, sometimes you give up on a piece of cake because you know that that's not the right thing to do. That's also some idea of Mesiras Nefesh. But he says it has to be into the Bria, it has to be in the Bria, this idea of Mesiras Nefesh. He says, once upon a time, the Yidden, when there weren't luxuries like there were nowadays, basic necessities of heating, etc., lighting, there was a lot of Mesiras Nefesh which went into learning Torah and to doing mitzvahs. Nowadays, there are different ways of being Mesiras Nefesh. But he says there has to be Mesiras Nefesh in the world. If Yidden are not being Mesiras Nefesh, then this Koyach, Rachmana Litzlan, goes over to the Goyim. And the Goyim will be Mesiras Nefesh for causes that they deem necessary, they have to be Mesiras Nefesh for. But if Mesiras Nefesh stays by the Yidden, then the Goyim, the Arabs, they will not have a Koyach. And he was speaking to the Bachrim, and he's saying that the more the Bachrim are Mesiras Nefesh nowadays to do mitzvahs and to learn Torah, the more you take away the Koyach from the Arabs, and they won't have this Koyach of being Mesiras Nefesh. So we dive into the Rabbeinu Shel Olam that the Koyach of Mesiras Nefesh should taka stay by us. We should be reunited with Moshe Rabbeinu, with the Gola Shleima of Imhera V'Yomeinu. Amen.